All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Welcome back to the CommonSenseShow.tv, commercial-free, censorship-free. Kind of a rarity today, isn't it? Thank you so much for joining us. You can see that we have Doug Thornton with us. You know what that means. It's the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And we have an old friend with us, someone I've interviewed a lot in the past, Gary Haben, founder of KERS. Probably doesn't like me saying this, but it's true. Humanitarian. He saved a lot of lives. Really involved in the Haiti tragedy. So was Doug. Fantastic work. And I'm sure Gary, when you meet your maker, he's going to be saying, good job, faithful servant. Same to you, Doug. But we're going to talk about some really critical things today. And Doug, why don't you go ahead and get us off the mark here, and we'll get started.
All right. So we have with us today a great man, Gary Haben. He was at the Birthright Conference, which was Tim Alberino's conference. They went over UFOs and alien agendas. They also went over transhumanism. And Gary had a big part to do with that because he talked to us about COVID. And he really wanted to get into the deep, dark details of who has their hands in this world. Who are the real people behind the curtain? See, we deal with the people in front of the curtain all the time. That's your mainstream media. That's your politicians. That's the people who come right out and they lie about everything. But they're being told a script. It's a narrated script for an event-driven action. And that's why we have someone like Gary Haben, who knows where to go to, who knows what he's talking about, and he's going to brief us on stuff that he wasn't able to fully cover at the conference. And I think your minds are going to be completely blown for it. So without further ado, Mr. Haben, we give you the board.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate those kind words from you guys. That conference was a really amazing event. We had about 450 people come to Nashville and attend a conference that was really about transhumanism. Now, people may ask, well, you know, what I care about that? What does that have to do with me? And the answer to that is that you may not be interested in transhumanism, but they're interested in you. And one of the connections that I was able to make in the presentation was, how does COVID lead to transhumanism? And, you know, I was privileged to have an hour phone call with Dr. Zelenko. He's the man who came up with the Zelenko protocol. Hydroxychloroquine is an early intervention for COVID. He's an American hero. And he's really an interesting guy because he's an Hasidic Jew who loves humanity. And he's probably saved more Gentiles' lives during this COVID event than any other man on the planet. And but he's a lot more than just a physician. He's able to really explain the connection between COVID and transhumanism and where this is all leading in a very deep way. So at the conference, we had some great speakers. Tim Alberino, who's friends with us, and many of your audience are well acquainted with him. You know, he's a genius. I don't like to tell him to his face because his head gets a little big, but he is. It's a brilliant man, and he was the leader of the conference and walked us through some fascinating things. I tell you, you know a conference is good because we started at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, and we broke for dinner at 5. And then everybody came back at 7 for another session. When I say everybody, every seat in the house was full, even after going out to dinner that evening. It was just action-packed and stuff you just don't hear in very many places. So it was a great privilege to be part of that. And, you know, I did a kind of a light review over COVID. COVID's kind of, we're all kind of tired of talking about it, right? Unfortunately, it's still being used as a weapon to separate us from our freedom, our constitutional rights. And it's we're in a bit of a reprieve right now. I think it or something akin to it is going to be coming back. And so we all have to be careful not to let our guard down and to learn from this last couple of years. Some of those lessons that I think are really important that you got to wrap your head around is that COVID was a laboratory developed some form of virus that was funded by Fauci and U.S. tax dollars. There's no question about that. There's a number of patents that have been issued for each of the parts of COVID as it was developed in various laboratories over the last really 20 years. And those patent owners are people like Fauci and Pfizer. And so it clearly has a trail that you can follow to who was behind this thing. And when you realize that people like Fauci and these other people of influence, Gates and so forth, funded the gain of function on a bat virus and to enhance it to become transmissible among humans. This isn't theory anymore. This is out there. You have to come to the conclusion that it was developed, it was released, it wasn't an accidental release, and that the people behind this, chief among them is Fauci, has committed crimes against humanity, and he finished the virus under the auspices of the Communist Chinese Army, which makes him also a traitor. So here we have this mass murderer who is a traitor to his country, who is still on the U.S. payroll, and the highest paid federal employee, for that matter, still on TV. He's out there pushing for this injection to be put into 6-month-olds. And instead of being in prison, he's on TV. That's a kind of the state of affairs that we live in right now that you've got to wrap your head around. These criminals are not held accountable for crimes that Fauci may have been involved in the mass murder of numbers that rival Mao Tse-tung or Pol Pot. And yet we're having to watch him on television, and we're having to continue to swallow what they're pouring down our throats. It's just an amazing thing. But the next thing you have to realize is if they made one thing and released it on us and got away with it, why wouldn't they do another thing? You know, when I was on the phone with Dr. Zelenko the other day, we were debating. I thought that they're going to release hemorrhagic fever on us next, and he thought it was going to be smallpox. And the fact that you're even having this discussion is astounding when you think about it. So these criminals who have gotten away with murder have an agenda that's very likely going to lead to the next pandemic, scandemic. And so we have to, those of us that are capable of thinking, have got to be communicating and getting the word out. And the good news is that more and more people are waking up. And the reason they're waking up is there's just too much evidence out there that COVID is a crime that's been perpetrated on the entire world. And for what purpose? And Dave and Doug, you guys are out there on the edge of this thing, sharing those purposes that the people in power have planned for us. And I want to commend you for that, the courage to do that. You put your lives at risk. I know I don't go anywhere that I'm not fully armed. It occurred to me, I've been standing on stage as the CEO, founder of Curves, you know, for my entire life, but I've never been on stage armed. Yes, I was in that last event. And it, you know, it seemed natural that I would be armed. And of course, with what happened with Dave Chappelle a couple of weeks ago, he probably wished he had been armed when he was on stage as well. So anyway,
the Billy Club, yeah. You know, Gary, you said one thing I wanted to respond to.
Yeah.
I think you and Dr. Zelenko are both correct. I got information last year that the next thing that's coming is indeed hemorrhagic fever. It's really Ebola. In fact, Fauci and the CDC defined it as that in 2013, but it's also going to have a smallpox variant put in it to exacerbate the spread. That's what I've been told is the next thing that's coming. And Bill Gates just said last week, oh, there's something more deadly coming and it's more contagious. So, you know, they're not done with us.
And Fauci actually led part of that, part of the foundation that funded the University of Texas, I think it's out of Galveston, who was actually doing the research on Ebola. So, you know, besides the fact that CDC already has the patent on Ebola, that should be, you know, red flags to everybody. What the hell do you have that for? Yeah. But then you have the University of Texas. I would like to know, you know, what type of levels of security do they have on that? Because if it can creep out of Wuhan, it can creep out of the University of Texas. You know, and I say it mainly for this reason, coming off of a law enforcement background, your most radical people in the country are in colleges, from the teachers to the students. You put them around chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, any type of asset that can be weaponized. Hold on to your seats, because if they can walk out of there with it, who can they hand it to? And there is a smorgasbord of people that our government watches, actual terrorist groups who are continuously trying to buy weaponized Ebola, weaponized COVID. And it's all over. When I was working on the border, Gary, we were seeing people. We had reports of Ebola that was positive. We had the plague. We had tuberculosis, polio, vaccine-resistant polio that's now showing up in the United States as of this year. It's being documented. We had H1N1 flu. We had the swine flu, MERS. We had SARS. Every single thing that the CDC watches around the world came through the border, and way worse than COVID. But why did COVID lock everything down, in your opinion?
Well, it was all planned. You know, the Galveston University of Texas facility that was doing research on COVID, COVID-type, coronavirus-type illnesses was well known. It was also going on in Winnipeg in Canada. It was going on in North Carolina at the university there. And of course the Chinese had grad students working in all of these laboratories. So it doesn't even need to be stolen. It can simply be taken by one of the Chinese students and researchers that are in all of these labs and just taken back to China. And of course that did happen. Charles Lieber, who was at Harvard, I believe he was at Harvard, is in prison now because he was being paid $50,000 a month under the table by the Chinese government. And his lab assistants from China escaped back into China to avoid being arrested. So China has funded so much of this research and put their agents in these laboratories as grad students. So it's just been an open trafficking of this. And of course, Fauci funded the Wuhan lab final touches on the gain of function research. You know, I knew about that so long ago because it was in January 2020 that I found the three articles in Nature Medicine magazine that explained the gain of function that had been going on in Wuhan. And they thanked Fauci for his support. And of course, that was taken off the internet quite a ways back. But I was able to share that information with Rand Paul March a year ago. And that's where Rand got his information to go and call out Fauci for the criminal that he is. I'm a little concerned that Rand is only wanting Fauci to be jailed for lying to Congress. I'd rather see him be charged with treason and crimes against humanity. But, you know, we're making a little bit of progress in this whole thing. Yeah, so all of that, it's really all out there. This Charles Lieber guy that I mentioned a minute ago, he has over 60 patents on nanotechnology. And nanotechnology is the connection between COVID and transhumanism. And I was able to speak about that at the conference. So, yeah, Doug, it's not even hidden. It's an open, people have been prosecuted for it. It's been published in journals who's funding these and where they're doing the funding. You know, the American people have just been so gullible, so naive. You know, Steve Kirsch is somebody who writes a lot. He's a wealthy guy from the tech industry who's been an outspoken observer of all things COVID. And he said the other day, and I agree with this, there's about a third of the American people that you're not going to wake up. They're the ones wearing their mask today in their cars, driving down the highway by themselves. So about a third of the people are just hopeless. About a third are like us. We're actually thinking for ourselves. We very wisely chose not to take this inoculation. But the good news is there's about a third of the people that are teachable. And if we can reach them, that's really our audience right now. And we can achieve a majority of people who avoid participating in this crime and begin to hold people accountable. And, you know, Fauci's starting to take some heat. Gates is starting to take some heat right now. They've had a little reprieve because of what's going on in the Ukraine. But, you know, as Dave mentioned, Gates is still talking about, you know, what may come out, you know, and you had that, they found smallpox in some cabinets in a laboratory over on the East Coast. You know, so they're priming us for the next thing. And here's the other. I said there's some things people got to wrap their heads around. Here's another one. There won't be any going back to normal. Dave, you talk about this a lot, our normalcy bias. Our normalcy bias works as a protection to keep us from being anxious about everything that comes along. But the problem with normalcy bias is it blinds us to evidence. And in fact, the more threatening the evidence, the more creative we get in our denial of the evidence because of normalcy bias. Well, we got to shake that off and deal with facts as they come and make the best decisions we can on the information that's in front of us. And here's another thing you got to get your head around. If you have faith in the institutions, after all the institutions have done, and let me name a few. You have the FBI and January 6th. The FBI is a criminal organization. You have the CIA and lying to us. The CIA admitted a few weeks ago that they were giving American people misinformation to support Ukraine. They came out and said it. And, you know, nobody's up in arms about it. The CIA and all the stuff that happened with the former president, criminal organization. Then you have the CDC, the National Institutes of Health, the FDA, and all of the misinformation and lies and withholding of early intervention therapeutics, criminal organizations. And so, you know, one of the great tragedies is that 90% of doctors surveyed today still believe that this injection is safe and effective when there's so much evidence that it's not safe and it's not effective. Look at all the people. Bill Gates got COVID 2 weeks ago or last week as an example. And you know, they told us we'd reach herd immunity. When they knew that it was not about herd immunity, you know, it wasn't about keeping you from getting COVID, wasn't about keeping you from transmitting it. It was about keeping you from having severe symptoms. And now the trade-off for a few months of perhaps reducing your severe symptoms is to have your body full of spike proteins, making spike proteins, and those spike proteins causing health problems, all sorts of autoimmune diseases, blood clots, even hemorrhaging, myocarditis, pericarditis, sterility. And that's the trade-off for a disease that had a 99.7% survival rate. The whole thing is just, it's just amazing. But this point, you've got to realize that the institutions are no longer worthy of your trust. And that includes the medical profession, almost all of it. The doctors that have spoken up have put themselves at risk to lose their practice, to lose their license. And they're heroes. Unfortunately, there's only about 10% of the medical community that's had the courage to put their careers at risk to try to protect their patients and the society that we have right now.
Yeah, that's, you're absolutely right in the way you phrased it. I don't know what you guys think. Well, I'll tell you what I do know. I've interviewed Tom Renslot, who was at one time the attorney for the frontline doctors, and they are of the belief, Gary, that these variants aren't variants. They've come along too soon. They're actually covers for vaccine side effects. And with the death curve spiking, as really documented by a couple of the life insurance company CEOs, that they have to cover that by saying, well, that's the variants. It's not the vaccine killing people. Do you subscribe to that too?
Yeah, you know, the symptoms of COVID and the symptoms of the events from the vaccine are really the same. How do you determine one from the other? You know, with COVID, you can get blood clots. With the vax, you can get blood clots as an example. So yeah, it's such an easy scam to pull off because, of the symptoms being the same. You know, I support Epoch TV, and there was a program on this morning that explained that there's seven effects of the spike protein, everything from blood clots and hemorrhaging and all these things. But the interesting point is the spike protein that comes from COVID, from getting sick with it, is the same spike protein that they put 50 billion of them in your body when you get the shot. And so any of those seven results of the spike protein harming your body, it didn't really matter whether it came from the vax or where it came from the virus. But you can choose not to do the vax. And yet, and the seven are really quite interesting. One of them, you know, people have with long haul COVID, have a lack of energy. They're tired all the time. Well, we now know that the spike protein enters the cell and destroys the mitochondria, which is what produces the energy in the cell. And it destroys that. So you're giving yourself an injection of 50 billion of these spike proteins and the mRNA to continue to make them. And why in the world would you do that? Mimic the very disease you're trying to avoid. It's just nonsensical, and it's non-science. So yeah, Dave, this is an easy scam to pull off when you control everything.
I think it really. Go ahead, Gary.
Doug, go ahead. I was going to go to the next section.
I think one of the most telling things about COVID is that it was a more effective psychological weapon than it was a biological weapon. And I say that because as I'm reading right now, U.S. monkeypox fears as six Americans are monitored after sharing flight with UK's patient zero. And that's on Daily Mail. Months ago, monkeys broke out of a containment vehicle in the middle of the Pennsylvania forest and got loose. And then the state police had to go there and they had to go and neutralize them or exterminate them. And supposedly they found all of them. I hope they did. But that's not random. I don't believe in random anymore. I don't. I worked for the government for 14 years. I stopped believing in random a long time ago. I don't think there's coincidence when everybody's afraid of viruses and everyone talks about viruses and then we're all staged in the mindset to be afraid of coughing and sneezing and 6 feet away from each other and wear a scuba gear mask when you go to the market basket. But now introduce something like monkeypox that really kills people horrifically. And Dave, you and I have talked about this before. You want to really capture people's imagination. You really want to be able to walk yourself into the FEMA camps, the medical camps, the SHIELD camps, as what CDC calls them around the world. This is how you do it. You introduce a virus that makes people bleed from their orifices, bleed from their eyes. They can't control the spasms and they drop dead. The thing that I've noticed about this is that was the original footage that came out of Wuhan, Gary. The original footage was people literally just walking and poof, dying, bleeding from the eyes, from the nose, from the mouth, vomiting up. Looked like this one guy vomited up at least a gallon of blood and then just bam, died right there on the bus. We didn't see that here in America, but it did travel from Wuhan to Iran. And then it hit Spain and they started to lock down. And then Europe, it wasn't that bad. America wasn't that bad. What do you think about that? Because I think there was multiple contagions that could have went out.
Yeah, you know, it could have been. Remember, Italy was hit particularly hard. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're going back now in Italy looking at what happened. And they're finding that the elderly that were already likely to die were the thing that drove it all, the isolations and a variety of things. So the ability to manipulate this thing. And you said something as you began to speak, Doug, that this is a fear of it was a terrorist act is what it was. The terror of it, of a 99.7% survival, was the real accomplishment that they had.
Psychological warfare.
You're right. And that's what that was all about. And we're going to, and again, if you wrap your head around what I was saying, this was created in a lab, funded, overseen by Fauci, funded by U.S. tax dollars, finished under the auspices of the Chinese army, and then released on the world and for a purpose, and that they have the technical capability to do another one. They're telling us about it. You know, they're talking about smallpox. They're talking about hemorrhagic fever, talking about the monkey virus. Why in the world would we not expect to see one of those things or multiple of those things hit us again? And we haven't even talked about bird flu, right? You know, they're destroying millions of chickens and turkeys for another purpose than theoretically trying to stop, this bird flu potential. But again, it's just all out there coming at us fast. We're being given a reprieve. We need to get ready for what's going to come next because there is no going back to normal. And they have weapons that are going to be available to them, biological weapons, bioweapons that are going to be far worse than anything we've seen right now. You know, people debate, it didn't kill all the people that they thought it would. No, I don't think that matters. What matters is they destroy the economy of the world. They learned what they could manipulate free people to do. They destroyed small business. They destroyed the U.S. military. The ones that were capable of critically thinking were fired. The ones that are still there are injected with a potential for chronic diseases. And I mean, it's just they destroyed the medical community, hospitals laid off people that refused to get the inoculation. The destruction has been enormous, and all for a purpose. And let's go there now. Okay, guys.
Yeah, I think we should go there. I'd like to just interject, though, that a lot of people get lost in the COVID, and I know we're going to go somewhere where that's not true, but I'm wondering how much the election is going to play a role in this, and here's why. The Democrats can't cheat enough to win, in my humble opinion, at least in today's environment. The numbers are overwhelming against them, and the midterm showed Republicans turned out twice as much as the Democrats, and the Democrats are not enthused. Roe v. Wade didn't move them. And so I'm looking at this and they need a kill shot. And I, Doug, you know, I told you this last year. I said, COVID's not the kill shot. That's yet to come. Gary, I'm wondering, because they know they can't win the election, but they're not going to give up power. Are they going to unleash this on us to prevent an election?
Well, Dave, that's a reasonable prediction. And we have to be making reasonable predictions all the time to stay ahead of this thing. And so I would agree with you with that. Mm-hmm. You also have the terror du jour of Russia and hypersonic nukes and the complete lie of what's going on in the Ukraine right now is another option that's there. Then you have the violence in the streets over the Roe v. Wade decision that's coming out of the court, another Black Lives Matter movement across the country, not to mention Title 42's may not be in place, and they're predicting a quarter of a million people. As a matter of fact, they ran the new numbers. I think it was 80,000 a week is getting through that we approve, and we're sending about 60,000 home. And that 60,000 is not going to be sent back, and that 80 is going to increase to way beyond that. So we're talking about the potential of a quarter million people a week. Now, that sounds crazy. You know, I lived 1 mile from the Rio Grande River for 25 years in the Rio Grande Valley. So I'm real familiar with the geography down there, and also the ability to come through. And so anyway, Dave, to answer your question, those of us that are thinking about things, those are all reasonable predictions to prevent the midterm elections, which I believe they're going to be highly motivated to prevent. It's just a question of which one.
Well, it's either going to be a virus or a war. I mean, but I don't think they can let it take place. They know they're going to lose. In fact, Gary, here's something, and Doug and I have talked about this. There's an organization called the DCCC, and they're a fundraising arm of the Democratic Party. And Democratic representatives in the Senate and House are required to pay dues, and they combine that money to help Democrats that are in trouble in a close election. The top 55 Democrats, including the Squad and Bernie Sanders, did not contribute. And I said, well, that's really concerning, because they're almost acting like they know there's not going to be an election.
That's an interesting thought there.
And, you know, Gary, to back up something that you said a while ago about the border, I worked the Valley for years. People don't understand how dangerous the Valley is, the Rio Grande Valley. The cartel owns a lot within 50 miles away from that border into Texas. Some will say even up to 100 miles. San Antonio, Texas, is actually called the Diamond. And the cartels from Mexico use San Antonio as a Disneyland, and it's actually considered to be a neutral zone for cartels. They're not allowed to kill each other there. That's where they take their families shopping. That's where they take their families on vacation. And right there around Bass Pro Shops, close to where George Strait lives, is quite a few of the cartel's own homes, and we know it. Now, here's something else that's really interesting. I have a friend of mine who recently left my old agency, and went to work for ICE. And he was not allowed to do any enforcement actions for deportation because he was a deportation officer now. So he's working up in the Northwest, can't deport in the illegals. And apparently there was quite a few. Caused such a big stink that the higher-up sent him down to the border to do a CIS mission. So basically what that means is now people that are coming into the border illegally, he gets to sit there, make their profile, and he pencil whips everything, rubber stamps it, and sends them through. So I asked him, I was like, well, what do you mean by that? Because you have to do an investigation, a background investigation. You have to check into if they have aliases. You have to check Interpol. You got to check a bunch of different sites for law enforcement sensitive reasons. But you're also going to ask people within the country, do you know this person? Because they're claiming they know you. He was told, don't worry about all that. Sign the effing paper. Get them in the process. You don't know what's coming across that border. You don't know what walking biological agents are coming across that border.
Yeah,
that's right. You know, so this kind of, let's tie all this into a neat little bow. The open border is not so that they can gain Democratic voters. That's a byproduct, but that's not their main reason. It's to overwhelm the system. You know, Cloward and Piven were professors at Princeton in the 70s who wrote about how to overthrow the U.S. And they said, you got to overwhelm the systems. And so you bring in millions of poor migrants, many of them criminals, some of them terrorists. They overwhelm the healthcare system, the school system, the court system. This is about overwhelming the system. And if you look at this from a paradigm, that there are people in power who want to bring down this country, and that opening the borders, Europe's a great example. You know, I walked down the street in Paris recently, 10 o'clock at night, and I was, you would think I was in Mogadishu, and I was not comfortable walking down the street in Paris, which that's how Europe has gone. So it's about bringing down the Western world. You know, and Kissinger and Soros both said the only thing standing in the way of a new world order is a strong America. So the people who are literally taking the world over right now need America to diminish. And opening the borders, sickening us, destroying small business, the printing of the money so that the dollar loses value. All of these have a purpose. You know, when you catch yourself saying, man, they're stupid, or Biden's an idiot, or senile, whatever, that should be a red light for you. These are not stupid people. They seem stupid, but you're just looking at it through the wrong paradigm. You know, right versus left, Republican versus, and by the way, there's not going to be any voting our way out of this mess we're in right now. So if you adjust your microscope of your mind and look at the evidence from the right focus, and the paradigm that I think that makes the most sense is that there is an evil cabal who have acquired control of all of our institutions, all of our politicians, not all of them, but almost all of them, all the money supply. And in my presentation the other day, I showed a number of slides, and I'll just state what a few of them were. When you look at the majority stockholders of companies, those are the people who choose the board. And it's the board of directors that run companies. And that board is chosen by the moneyed interest. And so I pulled up Pfizer, and I showed that BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard were the majority owners of stock in Pfizer. Therefore, they're the ones who determine the board and the policies of Pfizer. And then you pull up the New York Times, Fox News, Disney, and guess who you find is three of the top four owners of the stock, the same companies. And in fact, they control the boards of 90% of the Fortune 500 companies in America. And by the way, I pulled up JP Morgan. They're the controlling interest of JP Morgan. So a small group of people who control the money at Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street control the boards of almost all the media in America, all the pharmaceutical companies, the political establishment. And then you can, when you realize this, you can understand how so much mischief is being done. You know, the whole Disney fiasco where they thought it was a good idea to teach kindergartens about transsexualism. And it cost them Disney $24 billion in stock value. What board of directors would do something like that? Well, it's a board of directors that's controlled by people with massive wealth that have an agenda. And so I thought that was an important part of the presentation. There are people that control all of these institutions in our country. And so Sun Tzu, the Chinese general, said, you know, if you know yourself and you know your enemy, you need not fear the outcome of 100 battles. So I think we need to know our enemy. And our enemy is a cabal that's global in scope, that has an agenda. And there's three things that they have on their agenda. One is they want to amass all of the wealth of the world. And, you know, with COVID, they were able to shut down a lot of small businesses. The big box stores, Amazon, were considered essential. So they picked up all of that wealth that the average middle-class American lost. And, you know, there's a variety of ways they're going to amass that wealth, but that's certainly the top of their agenda. They want to control everybody. And I'm going to get to that in a minute, how the vax ends up being a control of people. But the third thing is, and this is where it gets personal, they have a phrase. They want a sustainable population on the planet. And, you know, we know from the Georgia Guidestones, we know from Ted Turner, and we know that Gates' background is a eugenicist. His father was the president of Planned Parenthood. They believe that a sustainable world population is 500,000 people. There's 7.6 billion right now. So they want to kill 90% of the people on the planet. And COVID and the vax and a Russian hypersonic missile attack, all of these things are pathways to reach their depopulation goal. And if you have anybody listening right now that says, well, you know, I'm really not all that interested in this. Well, they're interested in you. They're interested in killing you and your children and your grandchildren, sterilizing you. And you can see with COVID, the process by which that happens. So let me tie COVID into depopulation and to control. At the conference on transhumanism, we played a video from a man named Yuval Noah Harari, and he's considered the prophet of the globalist. The World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab. In fact, Obama introduced Harari to the World Economic Forum. So if you listen to some of his videos, he'll tell you what the agenda is. And some of the things that he says are that people are now hackable. And that's an interesting thing. And then he says, if something's hackable, you can re-engineer it. And then he says that there are too many people on the planet that are not contributing and they need to be dealt with. Just a variety of these things. And I would encourage people, Harari is spelled H-A-R-A-R-I. Google him and just listen to some of the stuff. And there you have a window. And of course, the globalists have been telling us pretty loudly in the last year or so that what their plans are. And so, for example, build back better. Well, they want to tear things down so they can build it back. And that's what we're in the midst of right now.
I wouldn't call it better, though, Gary.
Oh, yeah. Not for us. For them, maybe, right?
Build back to feudalism and slavery. That's how I see it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they say, you'll own nothing and be happy. And, you know, you have a massive transfer of homeownership from the American people to companies like BlackRock going on right now. We have the lowest home ownership in America in the history of our country. We're now renters. And that's consistent with the globalists telling us you'll own nothing, but you'll be happy. You'll rent. And by the way, you'll only be able to pay the rent if you comply, because they're going to do a digital currency. And that's all in the news lately. Resident Biden has been talking about a digital currency, and you're not going to be able to buy or sell unless they let you participate. And then you have the social credit score in China, which is more and more coming here. You know, if we say something that is not consistent with the approved narrative, then they close your bank account. And that's happened to a number of conservative speakers who banks would no longer let them have an account there. So these are all just foreshadows of what's coming. And so back to the COVID thing. 99% of the material in the shot is something called graphene oxide or graphene hydroxide. Charles Lieber, who I mentioned earlier, who's in prison now, you know, he was giving secrets to the Chinese, has over 60 patents on nanotechnology. And nanotechnology uses graphene, and it's in the shot. And you've seen the videos now where they look at the blood of people that have been vaxxed, and it has self-forming shapes in it. And then you go back and you look at Charles Lieber's patents, and you find out that graphene has some very interesting properties. Number one, it works as an antenna. It can receive information in the 5G frequency range, and it can transmit information. So anybody that's had the shot now has in their body a networking system that has permeated every cell of their body. It's gone through the blood-brain barrier. It's connected to the neurons in the brain. And theoretically, they can transmit a frequency that will be received by that nanotechnology, and it will influence your mood. It can perhaps even make you violent. You know, that zombie apocalypse they were talking about suddenly seems to be a little more realistic when you understand the technology. And, you know, Lieber did these patents 20 years ago. This is old stuff we're looking at. What they can do now by injecting humanity with a reception device that can influence every cell in her body has got to be beyond what these patents represent. And they were scary enough. And so I believe that in order to control us, they wanted to inject us with a material that would allow them through the 5G network, which never slowed down during COVID. They continued to do the 5G antennas all over the world. And so they've set up a network now, and they want everybody to be injected so that they can have some sort of control over them. And one last thing on this nanobot thing. These nanobots that they use in the vax are little cargo containers. And they were designed to contain the mRNA material so that the body wouldn't destroy it before it could enter into the cell and then begin to produce spike proteins. So what else are in these little cargo containers? It could be Ebola. It could be smallpox. It could be some technology that will kill you when they decide to push a button and broadcast over the entire 5G frequency release instructions for that material. And so the movement from COVID to transhumanism, I believe, is a link. And they, I understand that 4.5 billion people have gotten at least one shot. 1.5 billion have gotten a whole series of them. So if half the people on the planet are now walking around with a material that serves as a receiver to activate and influence behavior, we have achieved a level of transhumanism that is their clear objective.
So you think they used COVID to continue furthering the transhumanism movement with people who were abrasive to it, and so to be more pliable to it, they disguise it as an inoculation?
Yeah, they had to get it in our bodies on a massive scale. Because remember, the vax never was intended to stop you from getting it or transmitting it. It was to lessen severity, but it was never tested on animals. So it was experimental, still is for the most part, inoculation. It never made any sense, but they pushed it. They terrorized people into getting it. They threatened to fire them from the military, fire them from their healthcare. What was the big push for? And I think what explains it is that it's the material in the vax and how they will achieve control over humanity. And they're going to, and so they're going to come out with something that's going to have a 30% fatality rate, and people are going to be terrorized to even further to get this thing. You know, Doug, this is one thing I wanted to talk about at the event, why this makes sense. These people in power are humanist, and humanism is a religion in that people are their own gods. You know, my friend Zig Ziglar used to say, I don't know much about God, but I know this, I ain't him and you ain't either. And if you think you're your own God and you're going to die and that's going to be the end of your life, and you knew of technology where they could download your brain through a Neuralink onto a hard drive, and then they could implant that hard drive into a cyborg body that will continually be upgraded as science furthers, and that you could achieve eternal life. Now, as Christians, we think that's nuts, but we can't think from that paradigm. We got to think from where they're coming from. They don't believe in a God. They believe that each person is their own God, and that if there's a way for them to achieve eternity and also power over the other people, why wouldn't they do it? And so the rest of this transhumanism thing is they want to get rid of most of us and have the planet to themselves and all of its resources. And they believe they've achieved a method of achieving eternity through this neural download that Elon Musk is working on, by the way, in a cyborg type body. And you might've seen the program on, I believe it was on Fox News yesterday, about all the new robotic advances and how lifelike they are. Well, they actually see eternity through that method, and that's their number one goal. And that's reasonable if you're looking at it from their perspective. And for us, they want to kill off most of us. The ones that are left, they want to control us. They want us enslaved to provide the labor that will be necessary, the labor that robots won't be able to do. And of course, robotics is another part of their agenda as well. That's how most of the work has been done. So we're going to be, most of us are going to be useless, and they've got to do something with us. And that's where depopulation and also sterilization, which is a byproduct of this vax that's going on right now.
You know, I just looked something up, and I couldn't remember the name of the movie, so I had to go look. And it was a movie, I think it was 2014, called The Kingsman. And the world was connected by the cell phones, substitute 5G. And on a predetermined signal, everyone's head was going to blow up that they wanted to kill. It's kind of a predictive programming thing, but that's what it sounds like where you're taking us on this with a depopulation model. They want to wipe out 90% of us. Do you think 5G combined with the vaccine is kind of the Kingsman approach to getting rid of humanity?
Well, you know, like Doug said, he doesn't believe in coincidences.
Yeah.
And so the massive rollout of 5G at the same time that COVID was released on humanity would be a pretty big coincidence. And, you know, you're not allowed to know that there's graphene oxide in the vax, because then you might start asking questions. Why in the world is that material in there? There's no reason for it. And it's also harmful to the human body. Well, that's the answer. And Charles Lieber's patent list, everybody should read that to understand what the material that's been injected into half the population of the world is capable of doing, and there's no other reason to have it in there. And the fact that it's censored, if you talk about it or you want to look at what's in the vial, the scientists who've analyzed it and come to these conclusions are all censored. They're fired. They're threatened. One in Germany was killed. And that's the clue. If they don't want us to know about it, then there's probably something there that we should know about that would make a lot more sense if we did know about it.
Gary, we're almost out of time, so I wanted to ask you this question. What's the defense?
Well, you know, the knowledge is a defense. Knowledge is power. We've got to do the work of research and sharing information with people, and not be intimidated, not be censored. Dave, we're in the midst of the great cosmic battle of good versus evil. That we're in the end times, and as Christians, we're to be the salt, the light. And the churches across America have been one of the great failures in the events that we're in right now. And so those of us that have the intellect must muster the courage. This is a time for heroes. And I tell you what would I do to protect my family, my grandchildren, my community, anything that's necessary. My life is worth nothing compared to the value of them. So I'm not going to step back from this battle. I'm not going to be intimidated. All they can do is kill me. But I've decided a long time ago that I'm not going to die of old age in my bed. And all of you guys, Doug, you know, you're a warrior. It's time for warriors. It's time for us to stand up and fight. We have the truth on our side. And most importantly, we have a holy God that ultimately is in absolute control of everything. And I think he has a purpose for us at this time. And we need to rise and be the men and women of God that we were designed to be.
Amen. I think that's really well said. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to a synchronized broadcast with American Vindicta, The Common Sense Show. We call it the Doug and Dave Intel Report. It'll be airing on Doug's platform, our platform. Our guest has been Gary Haven. Gentlemen, final words?
I would just like to tell everybody to remember that we were meant to be courageous. So get outside, get off your excuse, make something of yourself, and enjoy your life.
Yeah, Doug, you said something that's important. This recognition of the times we're in and the threats we're facing should not take away your joy. You need to live every moment at the maximum and appreciate the blessings that you're surrounded with and not let evil take away your joy.
Yeah.
Go fight the fight, but do it in joy and knowing that you've been blessed to live in the time that we're in right now. And don't let them get you down.
Onward, Christian soldiers. Coin an old phrase from a hymn that I used to sing as a ladies and gentlemen, I think you've gotten some really good exposure here to what the game is all about. And the battle plan is two words, Jesus Christ. And it's been my honor here to share this forum with two committed Christians, two warriors. And on behalf of my broadcast partner, Doug Thornton, and myself, Gary, I want to thank you for joining us. Very informative, and feel free to invite yourself back whenever you have time. We'd like to have you back.
Thank you, Doug.
Take care, gentlemen. God bless.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.